Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you, everybody. This is Apostle Crystal Lee, excited to be here with you this evening for our Torah reading for this weekend or this week, Sukkot. Sukkot, we've already pretty much gone over during the Moed of Yah, which was our last Moed, which was Pentecost. We went over it during that season, and that was Sukkot Balak. But we're going back to Sukkot because that is the reading for this week, and that is simply statutes. So today's Torah theme is going to be Parashat Sukkot, the statutes, numbers 19 through 22:31. Really, I think it's one, but sometimes those things vary as far as they go, but we don't mind reading some extra today. Numbers chapter 19 all the way to chapter 22, verse 31. Then our prophetic reading or our prophetic portion for this week is Judges 11, verse 1 through chapter 33, Judges 11, verse 1.
Adrian.
Blessings, Adrian. We are on Blog Talk Radio, so if you would just mute your line just for a moment. We're right in the middle of our broadcast tonight. Love you so much. Glad to have you with us tonight. Judges 11, chapter 1 through verse 33. John chapter 19, verses 38 through 42. Is going to be our good message portion for tonight. So we are excited. Okay, you can write in a minute. Sit right here. We're excited to be here with you tonight, and we're looking forward to what the Father has to say through the reading of his word. Give me 1 second. Okay. Okay, give me 1 second, okay?
He told me to go out.
Okay, 1 second. All right, I'm on a broadcast right now, okay?
Okay,
give me 1 second. Don't touch Granny's book. So that's our reading for tonight. So we're going to look at the divine pattern of Yah over the last few weeks, the order of 1, 2, 3, and the progression and the process of things. Go close my door, please. We're receiving the statutes to be processed in the desert place. Yeah, come on in and close the door. Come inside and close the door. That's okay. We're going to be processed in the desert place. And this is a kingdom principle, okay? Receiving the statutes and then being processed in the desert place. Boy, I tell you, my family is something else. I'm trying to tell you, this is amazing to me, but it's just going to help me appreciate. Let him in. It's just going to help me appreciate the place that he's calling me to a whole lot better. Love my grandbabies. My family does understand that I do other things than teach and train grandbabies all day, but they don't act like they understand. So we're going to be okay with it and just keep it moving tonight. Come on in the room, y'all. Come on in the room. We are definitely blessings. We are definitely looking at the process, and we are on the broadcast tonight, guys. Don't forget we are on the broadcast. So if you want to switch over to that line, you can. You can switch over to that line as well instead of being here. Either way you go, you're going to be on. Bring that to Granny, please. Either way it goes, you're going to be on the broadcast tonight because I've got the lines connected. So if it's easier for you, I'm going to put some music on for 1 second because I got to do a mental health check in my house. I am doing a broadcast, and I did say that in an hour I was going to be doing a broadcast. So you guys hold tight. We love you so much. Get your pen and get your paper. We're going to get ready to do our reading tonight. Numbers 19, chapter 20 through chapter 22, 31. Let's start there. Judges 11, 1 through 33, and John 19, 38 through 42. Looks like the mental health check paperwork went through. I got at least two babies out of the room, so we're doing good. We're doing good. We are doing good. I'm excited about the word of Yah. I really am. I'm so excited about it, and I understand it in this season. This is one of the reasons why the sons are being so contested. There's a new move. There's a new sheriff in town. There's some new things that the Father's doing, and he's already given us the foregone conclusion on these new things, on the shift. Put that in your toy box. Don't just throw it in the floor. Put that in the toy box. Don't just throw it in the floor. And so the enemy he feels like he has some say-so in the matters in this season. But it's the verdict is already in. The books are already set and the judgment is in. So we're just going to move into things of Yah and deal with the objections. As the word tells us, this is what's written. And so because it's what's written, everything about your life that the Father has already spoken and already been declared is already so. Those are the things you're going to have to remind your adversary of in this season, that what the Father has spoken, that you have come into complete and total agreement with, by the way, because he's not going to do, there's no agreement. If there's no agreement in the earth concerning any matter, then there is no manifestation. So this is the hour, this is the season that we must begin to agree with what Father is saying in order to see and to be the manifestation that he's calling us to. So this is a kingdom principle, to receive the instruction. The Father doesn't do anything in the earth until he first has a conversation with his servants. He doesn't have any, he doesn't make any moves. It's not because he's not God. He can do what he wants to the way that he wants to do it. But he just happens to be one that abides by his own laws. And in his law, relationship dynamics is a priority for him. And so that should be a priority for us as well. What are you spelling? O-G-T. What is that? Anybody know what the acronym OGT is? We need to look that up. I got a young prophet in my room just quoting stuff. I'm like, what does that mean? Okay, hold on. This is not your broadcast. All right, I'm going to need you to back down. Original gangster tool. Okay. All righty. Okay. All right, That's what that means. OGT is an original gangster tool. So we receive that by the Holy Ghost tonight. I used to say that I'm a gangster in the Holy Ghost. So that's pretty funny that Sophia is on that. She's in that line of reasoning tonight. Hold on, y'all. I got to undo your line here. Let me make sure that I'm not. Adrian, if you need to get on the Blog Talk line tonight, if you'd like to write this down, 213-943-3818.
I'm already
on the
here.
Okay, you're already there. Okay, so
yeah.
Sherry and Courtney didn't transfer. Okay. Okay, good deal. Good deal. I'm just trying to make sure it's as simple as possible because I don't want to have a lot of feedback and I want to be able to communicate with you guys really simply. So just let me know what's going to be easiest. I'm just going to keep it right here for now and it should be fine, but I'm going to have to unmute this line. I think they just hung up to get on the line, but I'm going to unmute this line, I think. Nope, that's not what I want to do. Oh, Holy Ghost, help me here. Help me here. I'm just trying to identify what's going to be the best course of action. Thank you for staying on both lines, Adrian, because that helps me. That helps me a lot. I don't have to. I see you guys. I see you guys. Okay. Hold on, you guys. I'm going to put some music on and let the saints just get their notebook and pen, and I'm going to close my door and try to bring some order back to my room. Hallelujah. Get some order back in my room. Give me one second, guys. Thank you. you, Holy Spirit. Blessings. We're back. Excuse me. Sophia, no talking. Thank you. All right, we're back. Bless the Lord. Wow. Wow and wow. Father, we give you glory tonight. We give you glory, honor, and praise for all that you're doing and all that you've already done. As we walk through the doors, as we move in the momentum and the acceleration that you have called us to in this hour, Father, you are doing great things. You are doing great things in our midst, and for this we are glad. The great things that you're doing will not only be recognized by us, but they will be recognized by the nations, by the regions, by the cities, by the states that you call us into. We're carrying your glory to tell your story in the earth, Father, who you are, to make your name great again. So whatever that costs us, whatever the price is that we have to push through in this hour, we are willing to push. We are willing to travail.
We are willing to do war. We are willing to fight. We are willing to battle and engage to win in this hour. We're willing to engage to win in this hour. I'm so thankful that he's called us to a place where we are diligently doing this training, where we are training diligently, where we are training diligently to receive masterful results in this hour. And our obedience is everything. Our obedience is everything. There's no way we're going to reach the mastery levels that he's calling us to without the obedience that he's requiring of us. It's going to take obedience. And I'm excited about it tonight. I'm really excited because I recognize that more so in this hour of my life, in this hour where I love myself, in this hour where I'm in this hour of loving me and loving the Father and loving his people in a new way, because I've loved his people, you know, but loving you more than I'm loving myself is a real problem. Loving people more than I love myself is a real problem, but I'm thankful that the scales are balanced tonight. And so I understand that this fight is great as a result of the scales not being tipped, but they're balanced scales. And so the enemy has an issue. He wants to somehow tip the scales. He wants to somehow make some things unbalanced. He wants to make the weights improper and not even, not just. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm excited about this word tonight. I'm excited about the intentionality of the Father, because there are things that he keeps before our eyes. There are things that he keeps in our ears. You know, these are what I call momentous markers. These things keep us in remembrance of who he is and who we are. His word said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." So he's saying, be what I am. Be what I am. You understand what I'm saying? So we're going to come tonight. We're going to assemble around the reading and the hearing and the reverencing of Yah through the fellowship of Torah. We recognize this is the bread that we live by. This is the bread that we live by. It's not just by what we eat alone. And even the enemy's been contesting the believers in that area. Things that have been very simple for us on other occasions. Not the basic things that he's called us to, but the higher things. Those things that we once did in another season. We did those things. Don't eat anything off of the floor. We did those things as they were being spoken to us to do. Don't eat anything else off the floor. You understand? You're not hungry. As he was calling us to those things, we did those things. But see, that was for one season. When we change seasons, then the ante has to be up. The ante has to be up. Things have to change because we're not only going into a new season, but there's a new expectation. There's a new requirement. There's a new capacity that's necessary for the next season. I gotta go get my baby. You have to be quiet. Okay, go get it and come right back. Okay. Hallelujah. There's a new capacity. There's a new expectation for the new season. We can't go into the new with the old. We can't go into the new. And even though the old was appropriate for the old season, because when that season was new, that old thing, the thing that's now old, was very appropriate for that season. It was very powerful for that season. But now we're coming into a new time, and this new time requires new wine. The new time requires new wine. We can't take the old wine of yesterday and years ago and of time past into the new place. And it seems like it can be such a challenge, so challenging, because the wine was fine. You understand what I'm saying? The wine was fine, but now there's a new wineskin and there's a requirement for a new thing. Look in the hallway. Come on, give me this up. Come on, come on. There's a new requirement, and so it's going to take us moving to that new place. Wow. I mean, it's utterly amazing. There's some things I'll share with you guys when we get off of the line tonight, some very personal things that I'd like to share that I'm not going to share on the line tonight. But let's go ahead and get into the reading tonight. We are going to do 2 days because I really need the time to really I've already ministered this several times. I ministered Chukat Balak some weeks ago. It might have even been a month ago now, in June or in May, whichever that was. I think it was June, beginning of June. But there's some things that he's pressing on me right now. And I don't even want to be tempted to try to delve into those things tonight. I want to allow these things that he's speaking to me to marinate. So we'll be back on tomorrow. I'll give you guys a time I'm not certain of the time because my family is so unpredictable and I don't have my van. It's in the shop right now, so it's not like I can just walk outside and go to the van and get it done. So we're going to work around some things this weekend, but we're going to get it done, and we'll be back on tomorrow for the conclusion. No, baby, just sit there. We'll be back on tomorrow for the conclusion of Parashat Sukkot, because we definitely want to do the table talk for today. So we're just going to do the reading tonight. That's going to really free me to not have to be pressured into doing a thing that could actually get done tonight. But I really want to marinate on the things that he's speaking to me concerning this passage. I really do. I want to marinate. I want to have this time of quiet. Can you not stick your whole hand in your mouth to eat the cereal? I appreciate you. Thank you. My God. Welcome to everybody that's on the line. You guys, line is open. Blessings to you. Go ahead and unmute your line and talk back to me. Let me know you're here.
Blessings.
Blessings. Blessings to everybody. Oh, somebody dropped. Somebody dropped. Hallelujah. Somebody dropped. Blessings. I see you. Is that Sherry and Courtney and that's Angel on the line?
Yes, it's Sherry and Courtney.
Okay. And Angel, are you there? Welcome back, Adrian.
Thank you. Good to be
yes,
back.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
I'm a daytime girl now.
Okay, okay. We'll keep that in mind. We're still on the line in the daytime.
No more nighttime working.
Glory. Glory. So you're available in the evening. Now you can be a part, be more readily available.
Correct.
Yeah, to be connected.
5:30 a.m. 5:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. now.
Okay, awesome. Awesome. Well, you know how to find us. We are still on in the morning. And we're in intercession in the morning right now. We're not necessarily reading. We're in another, you know, we're just in another movement, what he's calling us to this moment. So, yeah, you can definitely call in and just put it in your ears if you're able to do that. But otherwise, you know where to find us at night.
Correct.
You know where to find us at night. Thankfully, the reading has been switched to the evening. So that's very beneficial for you. Because now you can get some of the reading. Absolutely. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. So let's go ahead and jump into the reading. I'm excited again about what the Father is doing. And I understand that these distractions are not without purpose. The distractions in our life in this season are not without purpose. They are very intentional. They are very purposeful. But the training that's going to come of this contending, the training that's going to come up, the challenge, is just going to be absolutely amazing. So just brace yourself, prepare yourself, and get your heart ready to receive, you know, what the Father is calling you to. Get your heart ready to receive and ready to be, you know, what he's calling you to. I'm excited. Let's go ahead and jump into the reading. We are in Numbers chapter 19, verses 20, starting at verse 1, going through chapter 22, verse 31. Come on, Courtney, you reading tonight?
Yes, ma'am. We're going to chapter. Let me make sure. Hold on, I got everything marked. But I want to make sure.
Yes, ma'am.
We're going to chapter 22 and all the way down to the last verse or to verse 1.
Yeah, let's go ahead and read down to 31. I don't know what the conflict is there, so let's just go ahead and cover the territory.
31 or 41?
You know what? 31.
31, okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen. All right, Numbers chapter 19, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, this is the ordinance of the law which the Lord hath commanded, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring thee a red heifer without spot, wherein is no blemish, and upon which never came yoke. And ye shall give her unto Eleazar the priest, that he may bring her forth without the camp, and one shall slay her before his face. And Eleazar the priest shall take of her blood with his finger, and sprinkle up her blood directly before the tabernacle of the congregation 7 times. And one shall burn the heifer in his sight, her skin and her flesh and her blood with her dung shall he burn. And the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet and cast it into the midst of the burning of the heifer. Then the priest shall wash his clothes, and he shall bathe his flesh in water. And afterward he shall come into the camp, and the priest shall be unclean until the evening. And he that burneth her shall wash his clothes in water and bathe his flesh in water, and shall be unclean until the evening. And a man that is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer and lay them up without the camp in a clean place, and they shall be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel for a water of separation. It is a purification for sin. Verse 10, and he that gathereth the ashes of the heifer shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the evening. And it shall be unto the children of Israel and unto the stranger that sojourneth among them for a statute forever. He that toucheth the dead body of any man shall be unclean 7 days. He shall purify himself with it on the 3rd day, and on the 7th day he shall be clean. But if he purify not himself the 3rd day, then the 7th day he shall not be clean. Whosoever toucheth the dead body of any man that is dead and purifieth not himself defileth the tabernacle of the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from Israel, because the water of separation was not sprinkled unto him, he shall be unclean. His uncleanness is yet upon him. This is the law: when a man dieth in a tent, all that come into the tent and all that is in the tent shall be unclean 7 days. Verse 15, and every open vessel which hath no covering bound upon it is unclean. And whosoever toucheth one that is slain with a sword in the open fields, or a dead body, or a bone of a man, or a grave, shall be unclean 7 days. And for an unclean person, they shall take of the ashes of the burnt heifer of purification for sin, and running water shall be put thereto in a vessel. And a clean person shall take hyssop and dip it in the water, and sprinkle it upon the tent and upon all the vessels and upon the persons that were there, and upon him that touched a bone or one slain or one dead or a grave. And the clean person shall sprinkle upon the unclean on the 3rd day and on the 7th day. And on the 7th day he shall purify himself and wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and shall be clean at evening. But the man that shall be unclean and shall not purify himself, that soul shall be cut off from among the congregation, because he hath defiled the sanctuary of the Lord. The water of separation hath not been sprinkled upon him. He is unclean. And it shall be a perpetual statute unto them, that he that sprinkleth the water of separation shall wash his clothes, and he that toucheth the water of separation shall be unclean until even. And whatsoever the unclean person touches shall be unclean, and the soul that toucheth it shall be unclean until even.
Okay, we're going into chapter 20. I'm only going to say one thing about this chapter. We're going to come back tomorrow. We're going to do the table talk. So you guys make sure you read through so you'll be ready to really share what the Holy Spirit is giving you, because it's going to be amazing. But one of the things I'm going to say is that cleanliness is a godly thing. I want you to get the phrase cleanliness is next to godliness out of your mind, because you can be outwardly clean but inwardly filthy. Does that make sense? We got all of these things.
Amen.
We're kind of dealing with this on the line today. Well, we got all of these things, and that might have been yesterday, all of these things that are sayings that men say that actually separate us or keep us out of our proper place with the Father, because they make the word of Yah not effective in us. You understand what I'm saying? Cleanliness, just because somebody is clean, doesn't make them godly. But cleanliness is a godly thing. It can be a godly thing. We were talking about bodily exercise. There is no more. profiteth little. That doesn't mean that there's that bodily exercise only has a little profit. It means that if you isolate that thing to make yourself look good on the outside, but you do nothing with your inward man, then you've only profited a small portion in life. You understand what I'm saying? But if you couple those things together and make those things operate as they should, then you are in great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. You are in a position of great gain. So I just wanted to debunk that theory, because when I, you know, read through this again, I was hearing that phrase and people say things that are not biblical, even though they may have a biblical point or some kind of biblical principle in it. It doesn't make it true. Okay, you understand what I'm saying? I know you guys have heard that saying before. Cleanliness is next to godliness. So if you run into somebody that's clean, you thinking, well, because it's in your mind, it's in your subconscious, and your subconscious is the thing that runs all your programs in your body. How you think, how you function, how you operate is all run by your subconscious mind. It's not run by your conscious mind. So consciously, you may know that to be a lie now, but until you reprogram your subconscious, you're going to function from that place. And so that's why the enemy wants to do a thing, because he seeks to alter and adjust the programming so that you operate from a very specific place. Does that make sense? So he gives us these little sayings, these little things that counteract and contradict the effectiveness of the truth of the word of Yah in the life of the believer. So I just wanted to say that. We'll come back to that tomorrow and deal with this red heifer and the waters of separation and all of that. It's going to be amazing, because we've got some things that we can now go back to and look at a process here, look at a specific pattern that's being built here, a certain construction, a certain blueprint that's being built for a time to come. So we want to look at that. Okay, let's go to the next chapter, Courtney. Numbers 21. Anybody got anything they want to say about what I just said? You're more than welcome.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Everybody's good?
Yes, ma'am. Numbers chapter 21.
Okay, thank you, guys.
And when King Arad, the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities. And he called the name of the place Ramah. Verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. Compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a certain serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Verse 10. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in Oboth. And they journeyed from Oboth and pitched at Egyabarim in the wilderness, which is before Moab, toward the sun rising. From thence they removed and pitched in the valley of Zered. From thence they removed and pitched on the other side of Arnon, which is in the wilderness that cometh out of the coast of the Amorites, for Arnon is the border of Moab between Moab and the Amorites. Wherefore it is said in the book of the wars of the Lord, what he did in the Red Sea and in the brooks of Arnon, and that the stream of the brooks that goeth down to the dwelling of Ar and lieth upon the border of Moab. Verse 16, and from thence they went to Beer, that is the well whereof the Lord spake unto Moses, gather the people together, and I will give them water. Then Israel sang this song, spring up, O well, sing ye unto it. The princes digged the well, the nobles of the people digged it, by the direction of the lawgiver with their staffs, with their staves. And from the wilderness they went to Matanah, and from Matanah to Nahaliel, and from Nahaliel to Bamoth. Verse 20, and from Bamoth in the valley that is in the country of Moab, to the top of Pisgah, which looketh toward Jeshimon. And Israel sent messengers unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, saying, let me pass through thy land. We will not turn into the fields or into the vineyards. We will not drink of the waters of the well, but we will go along by the king's highway until we be past thy borders. And Sihon would not suffer Israel to pass through his border. But Sihon gathered all his people together and went out against Israel into the wilderness, and he came to Jahaz and fought against Israel. And Israel smote him with the edge of the sword and possessed his land from Arnon unto Jabbok, even unto the children of Ammon. For the border of the children of Ammon was strong. Verse 25. And Israel took all these cities, and Israel dwelt in all the cities of the Amorites, in Heshbon, and in all the villages thereof. For Heshbon was the city of Sihon, the king of the Amorites, who had fought against the former king of Moab and taken all his land out of his hand, even unto Arnon. Wherefore they that speak in Proverbs say, come into Heshbon, let the city of Sihon be built and prepared. For there is a fire gone out of Heshbon, a flame from the city of Sihon. It has consumed Ar of Moab and the lords of the high places of Arnon. Woe to thee, Moab, thou art undone. O people of Shemash, he hath given his sons that escaped and his daughters into captivity unto Sihon, king of the Amorites. We have shot at them. Heshbon is perished even unto Dibon, and we have laid them waste even unto Nophah, which reacheth unto Medabah. Verse 31, thus Israel dwelt in the land of the Amorites, and Moses sent to spy out Jazer, and they took the villages thereof, and drove out the Amorites that were there. And they turned and went up by the way of Bashan, and Og the king of Bashan went out against them, he and all his people, to the battle at Edrei. And the Lord said unto Moses, fear him not, for I have delivered him into thy hand, and all his people, in his land, and thou shalt do to him as thou didst unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, which dwelt at Heshbon. So they smote him and his sons and all his people until there was none left him alive, and they possessed his land. Numbers chapter 22, verse 1. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side Jordan by Jericho. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was sore afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, Now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. He sent messengers, therefore, unto Balaam, the son of Beor, Beor to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure, I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand. And they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. And he said unto them, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. And God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, hath sent unto me, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refuses to give me leave to go with you. Verse 14, and the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak and said, Balaam refuses to come with us. And Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him, thus saith Balak, the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. For I will promote thee unto a very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now, yes, therefore, I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more.
Okay, let's stop there. Because I think verse 1 was actually our stopping place for today. I'm pretty sure it was, but I wasn't sure because sometimes that those what's called conflict. So let's go ahead and jump to Numbers. Thank you. I'm sorry, not Numbers, but the other passage for today. Give me one second, which is in Judges, I believe. Judges 11.
Yes, ma'am. Chapter 11.
Yeah. Thank you, Elder Vicky, for the reminder.
Man.
Judges 11 1.
Now, Jephthah, the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of an harlot. And Gilead begat Jephthah. And Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah and said unto him, thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. Then Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob, where there were gathered vain men to Jephthah and went out with him. And it came to pass in process of time that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. And it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. And they said unto Jephthah, come and be our captain, that we may fight with the children of Ammon. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, did not ye hate me and expel me out of my father's house? And why are ye come unto me now when ye are in distress? And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, therefore we turn again to thee now, that thou mayest go with us and fight against the children of Ammon, and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, if ye bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head? Verse 10, and the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, the Lord be witness between us, if we do not so according to thy words. Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and captain over them. And Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. And Jephthah sent messengers unto the king of the children of Ammon, saying, what hast thou to do with me, that thou art come against me to fight in my land? And the king of the children of Ammon answered unto the messengers of Jephthah, because Israel took away my land when they came up out of Egypt from Arnon even unto Jabbok and unto Jordan. Now therefore restore those lands again peaceably. And Jephthah sent messengers again unto the king of the children of Ammon, verse 15, and said unto him, thus saith Jephthah, Israel took not away the land of Moab, nor the land of the children of Ammon. Mm-hmm. But when Israel came up from Egypt and walked through the wilderness unto the Red Sea and came to Kadesh, then Israel sent messengers unto the king of Edom, saying, let me, I pray thee, pass through thy land. But the king of Edom would not hearken thereto. And in like manner they sent unto the king of Moab, but he would not consent, and Israel abode in Kadesh. Then they went along through the wilderness and compassed the land of Edom and the land of Moab, and came by the east side of the land of Moab and pitched on the other side of Arnon, but came not within the border of Moab, for Arnon was the border of Moab. And Israel sent messengers unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, the king of Heshbon, and Israel said unto him, let us pass, we pray thee, through the land into my place. But Sihon trusted not Israel to pass through his coast. But Sihon gathered all his people together and pitched in Jahaz and fought against Israel. And the Lord God of Israel delivered Sihon and all his people into the hand of Israel, and they smote them. So Israel possessed all the land of the Amorites, the inhabitants of that country. And they possessed all the coast of the Amorites from Arnon even unto Jabbok, and from the wilderness even unto Jordan. So now the Lord God of Israel hath dispossessed the Amorites from before his people Israel, and shouldest thou possess it? Wilt not thou possess that which Shamash thy God giveth thee to possess? So whomsoever the Lord our God shall drive out from before us, them will we possess. Verse 25, and now art thou anything better than Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab? Did he ever strive against Israel, or did he ever fight against them? While Israel dwelt in Heshbon in her towns, and in Aroer in her towns, and in all the cities that be along by the coast of Arnon 300 years, why therefore did ye not recover them within that time? Wherefore I have not sinned against thee, but thou doest me wrong to war against me. The Lord the judge be judged this day between the children of Israel and the children of Ammon. Howbeit the king of the children of Ammon hearken not unto the words of Jephthah, which he sent him. Then the spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed over Gilead and Manasseh, and passed over Mizpah of Gilead, and from Mizpah of Gilead he passed over unto the children of Ammon. And Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord, and said, if thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hands, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon shall surely be the Lord, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. So Jephthah passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hand. And he smote them from Aroer over, and he smote them from Aroer even till thou come to Minnith, even 20 cities, and unto the plain of the vineyards with a very great slaughter. Thus the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel.
Okay, that's the end of our prophetic reading for today. And all I'm going to say tonight about that is there's nothing like a family fight. I don't know about anybody else on this line, but I ain't really had a real fight till I had a family fight. Okay, that's what we're looking at right here in this chapter, in Judges chapter 11. We're looking at brothers fighting. We're looking at family fighting. Ammon, you guys know what Ammon and Moab are. You know where they're from. And we'll talk about that tomorrow. We won't delve into it today. But there, that's a family fight, and that's a real place. That's a real place. We'll talk about that tomorrow, and I believe the Father's going to allow us to have some prophetic utterances to break some chains of some captivity that's been over the family life, your family life, things that have been holding the people of Yah captive, you know, just family infighting, family issues, things that people do to keep other people in captivity and keep them bound and keep them in a system and in a cycle, because that's all they know. This is the hour the Father's breaking us free from the family fight. So let's go ahead and read our next passage, which is going to be found in John chapter 19, verses 38 through 42. John 19, verses 38 through 42. Let's go there. Give me 1 second, Courtney. I want to get to it. John chapter 19. Verses 38 through 42. That's our good message portion. Hallelujah. Yeah. Let's do it.
And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Arimathea.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. First, I'm going to start over, 38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulcher, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulcher was nigh at hand.
Hallelujah. And that's our Torah reading for this weekend. We're going to come back tomorrow, and I'm going to set a time because I don't want anybody to have any guesswork. So let's set 6 o'clock tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. Let's set it to 6 o'clock. That way we get in early and we're not here all night. Let's get in early and not be here all night. But we're going to go ahead, since we're already here, we're going to go ahead and cross over into our prophetic intercession. We're just a few minutes outside of that time. Just a few minutes outside of that time. Were there any particular questions about the passages we read? We're definitely doing table talk tomorrow. But if there were particular questions that need to be asked, let's go ahead and get the questions out of the way. One of the things that is really important about Sukkot is the statutes. You know, that those statutes are everything. You know, we have statutes in the different cities that we live in, and every culture has its laws and its statutes. Every culture has something that you must abide by. I don't know why people think that when it comes to the kingdom of things, the kingdom of Yah, concerning the kingdom of Yah, that's the only thing that shouldn't have statutes. They should be able to do whatever they want to do, and it's okay, and there should nobody be to challenge them. There should be no comment, no judgment, no, you know, don't bring it up. We all ain't nobody perfect. You know, it's all of these things. Nobody says that when the cops pull them over to give them a ticket when they break the law. You know what I'm saying? I want you to just think about these things just for a minute, because it's a really serious matter that the enemy has really so convinced mankind that they can do whatever they want to do out as it pertains to the things of Yah. But when it pertains to other things, you know, they might have a little little dispute or whatever here or there. But unless they really know the law of the land and how things actually operate, they don't have a leg to stand on. So they have to follow what's been set before them. When you don't know, you have to follow what's been set before you. Thus goes this conversation. Those that don't know the law, anything can be put past them. You know, whoever's enforcing specific laws or said laws can put some things past you. Understand, Paul was actually facilitating the death of the Nazarene. He was facilitating the death of the believers. He was facilitating the death of the ecclesia. Before he became an apostle, before he got knocked off his horse and blinded, and the master showed up and began to communicate and commune with him, he was literally thinking that he was doing God a service by killing these people that were opposing what he had learned in Torah, how he saw Torah. Hear this, how he saw it. He was reading the same book we're seeing, but not seeing the life or the breath of Yah in that book, in those books that he was reading. He was seeing a rigid, a dogmatic, incorrect, and improper perspective. This is what caused him to begin to kill the believers of that hour, or set them up to be killed. He never lifted a knife. He wasn't the one that actually executed them. However, it was by his word that they were executed, if that makes sense. Anybody have anything they want to say about that? You know, that's a two-sided fence there. It's a two-sided fence, you know. It's about perspective. It's really about perspective. Somebody say something about that.
No, ma'am. No question.
No question?
No, ma'am.
I don't have to be either, Apostle. No, ma'am.
Okay. Yeah, that's a two-sided fence there. And so it's really important that we recognize these things. It's really important that we recognize these things. Let's go ahead and... Courtney, if you have our prayer points for this weekend or for tonight, if you have those in front of you, that would be great. Somebody's got on something in their background is giving me feedback in the mic.
I do not have the prayer points in front of me, Apostle, but I will go and get them.
Okay. Good deal. We can do that. You guys, we're going to take like a five-minute break. We're going to come back and get ready for prophetic intercession. So if you got to use the bathroom, get something to drink, get you a snack, get you some popcorn, let's go ahead and do all of those things. I'm going to throw some music on briefly, and we'll be right back. Really, I'll let it go ahead and play out a 7 minute. That'll be completion. I'll let it play out the 7 minutes, and we're going to come right back for prophetic intercession. We're getting our prayer points in front of us now, so that we can go ahead and pray what the Father has given us to say for this weekend. And so we want to move in that place and in no other place. Okay, so we're going to tune it up for a minute, and you guys go ahead and get yourselves ready for prophetic intercession. Love you so much. We'll be right back. Thank you. Hallelujah. Welcome back. Welcome back. We're going to get ourselves set up here and get started for intercession. We are thankful. Turn my fan on, please. Not on high. Turn it back on one. That's one. One. Yeah, one. Look at what you're doing, babe. Thank you. Thank you, Sophia. Hallelujah. We're excited to be here with you tonight. We're going to go ahead and jump into a time of intercession. This is always a really important part of our Friday evening. And the order that this is going to be done in is opposite of what we're doing it now. While you're getting the Torah broadcast, et cetera, right now, just because we are not currently, have not currently been doing faith for family, but we're going to get back to that. And so when we get back to that, then the reading for Torah will be at the end of that broadcast. In other words, we'll probably have to get off of the line and come back on the line in order to do it. Okay, so we're going to have to find out what that looks like at some point. Get off the line and come right back on. I'll have to set up, schedule two things back to back and see how that works, because I don't remember ever doing that before. I don't feel like I've ever done that before. I remember doing an overflow, and that started in another season, but I don't remember doing broadcast. No, ma'am, don't leave the room. You have to wait. No, I don't remember doing broadcast back to back, so we're going to do that. But let's go ahead and get ready to get into the intercession. Father, we glorify you. Everybody, your line is open and available. Your line is open and available. So I need you to go ahead and unmute your line right now, because this is not the Apostle Lee show. It's not the Apostle Crystal show. This is our time of intercession. And intercessors are currently on the line. This is a time for the prophetic intercessors. So we're going to share this time like we always do when we're just on the regular conference line and do what the Father has called us to do. Hallelujah. Everybody agree?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Let's just go ahead and begin to pray in the Spirit and just begin to give God glory for who he is and what he's done. Father, we magnify you. We glorify you. We honor your name today. We bless you. We just love you tonight for who you are and for all that you have done, for what you are yet doing in the lives of your sons across the world. We're excited about what you're bringing us to. Hallelujah. We're excited about what you're bringing us to and all that you brought us through. We glorify you now. We glorify you now for your goodness and for your mercy. We glorify you for your grace. We magnify you right now, Father, because it is you that has done the good work in us. It's you that accomplished the things that you're accomplishing in us. It's no goodness of our own that you called us to a place of holiness. It's no goodness of our own that you called us to a place of peace. It's no goodness of our own that you called us into a place of manifestation. This is for your glory and for your doing, and we're excited about it. We are excited about what you've called us to. We honor you right now. We honor you right now for your goodness. We honor you right now for your grace, God. Hallelujah. We honor you and we bless your name. There is no other God like you in the earth. No God is like you in the earth, Father. We bless you right now. We bless you right now for who you are, Father. We thank you right now that you're giving your sons in this hour the strategy, Father, the strategy of besieging strategy. This is what you're calling us to. Don't leave this room. This is what you're calling us to. You're giving us strategy because you're putting us in a position to take the land. You're putting us in a position that you called us to in this hour. You have called us the sons of inheritance. You have given us authority in the land, Father, to accomplish the things that you called us to accomplish. You said that the kingdom would be given to the sons. You said that the kingdom will be given to the sons of the Most High. And no matter what the adversary is doing in the earth, no matter what the powers that think they be think to do concerning your creation, concerning mankind, Father, you've given the kingdom to your sons, not just to your sons, but to your sons. This is your word. And so we thank you that you're in this hour giving us the strategy.
Hallelujah.
You're giving us the strategy to besiege, to overthrow, to take the territory that you called us to in this hour. We're not only taking physical landmass, Father, but we're also taking the territory that's been influenced by other spirits. We're taking the territory concerning mankind. We are taking the territory of the minds of men, bringing people back to who you are, bringing them back to Torah, bringing them back to the truth, bringing them back to operating in their worship in spirit and in truth. The spirit of truth is what you called us to worship in. The spirit of truth is what you called us to worship in. And so we're thankful right now, Father, that you're calling sons all over the world to come to the place of truth, to operate in the spirit of truth as they worship you, Father, knowing what they're doing. The master said to the woman at the well, you know not what you worship, but we know what we're worshiping. And this is the hour, and now is the time that those that worship him will worship him in spirit and in truth, in the spirit of truth. We thank you right now, Father, that that's the place that you are calling us to. You are calling us to this place to besiege and to overthrow and to dispossess the land that you're calling us to. There are other people that are in those lands. There are other people that are in those lands, other nations that are occupying the territory that you call sons to, both relationally, both in the marketplace, Father. We thank you right now that you're calling your sons to a marketplace anointing. You have anointed your sons for the marketplace in this hour. And Father, we will not sit idly by and watch the nations that don't know you operate in the marketplace, do things in the marketplace as if they have a handle on it, as if they have cornered the market, Father. They are doing all kinds of things and presenting all kinds of things to the masses, whether they be chemical warfare, whether they be spiritual warfare, whatever kind of warfare they're waging against humankind, they're doing it in their corporate settings. But you have given your sons in this hour witty ideas and inventions. You've given your sons business acumen in this hour to do the thing that you have called them to do, that they would begin to function in the gift and in the gift set and in the mindset and in the place that you have actually anointed them, and men will come to you because of what they release in the earth. They will come to you because of what they see on your sons. They will come to you because of what they see on your sons. You said that men would see our good works and begin to glorify our Father in heaven. Father, we thank you. That takes us to our next prayer point. We glorify you for the connection that you're giving us in this hour. You have sought out sons across this earth. You have sought out sons within the earth that you're going to connect in this hour to help facilitate the movement of ministry, the movement of the marketplace, the movement of relationship, as your kingdom has already established it concerning us. We thank you right now. The connections are in place, and we are concerned even about the diabolic connections, those things that are not authorized, that are now operating in our midst, in our lives, in the realms of work that we do, in the realms of our relationships, in the realms of ministry. Father, we thank you right now that you're canceling every unlawful and unauthorized assignment against your sons in this hour concerning connections. We thank you right now, Father, you're bringing us to a season where we understand who we're fighting. We understand who we're fighting and what we're fighting with. You've given us weapons of warfare. Not only have you given us weapons, but you've made us your weapons of warfare in the earth. But you've also given us access to weapons, Father, in this hour. And so we thank you that this is the hour that you're calling us to come to the place of understanding, the place of knowledge of the weapons that you have given us, the weapons of our warfare. You declared are not carnal, but they are mighty through Yah to the pulling down. This is the place that you've called us to, the putting down of strongholds, of fortresses, of diabolic fortresses. You called us to this place, Father, to call us into a place of overthrow and pulling down things that have made themselves exalted, things that have exalted themselves in the minds of men. Strongholds keep people hostage on the inside. Strongholds. These are mindsets, Father, that keep people in cycles and in systems that are not those things that you have called us to. We thank you right now, and by your power and by your strength and by the authority that you've given sons, we declare and decree the release of the remnant in this hour from every system that is diabolic in nature, to hold them inside and to keep them from going into the places that you're calling them into. We give you glory and honor. We give you glory and honor and praise, Father. We give you glory, honor, and praise, Father, because you've promised us some things. And we thank you right now for the promises, but we also thank you for the process, and we thank you for what you've taught us to maintain the place that you promised. You've given us some very specific information to maintain the place that you promised us. You've already established in the hearts and minds of your people your word that's going to establish them in the promise that you called them to. So we thank you right now, Father, that you're giving us the grace. You're giving us not only the grace to go in and to do war, but you're giving us the grace to maintain the territory that you called us to. You're giving us the grace to settle the things that you're calling us to settle, to tie up the loose ends that we need to tie up, to sever the ties that we need to sever. We thank you right now, Father, that you're causing us to understand what relationship dynamics we can facilitate in the land that you're calling us to. We certainly understand that you have not called us to mix and mingle with nations that you are calling us to dispossess. So we thank you right now that you're dealing with the mindset of your sons in this hour concerning the things, the giants that are in the land. These giants are not just physical giants of sorts, although we are facing those things and will be facing those things, because your word declared that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man appears. So we recognize that that's going to be a thing, that that's a real thing. But right now we want to deal with the giants that battle the minds of your sons, the giants that keep your sons from moving in the place that you called them to move in. We were going over the spies the last couple of weeks, and in those names were contained the sins that they committed in that place, the sins that they committed against you in keeping the people from going in and persuading the people and discouraging the people from going in and possessing the thing that you commanded them, that you charged them to possess, that you promised them was their possession. Father, they changed the hearts and the minds of the people as it pertained who you were and what you spoke. And so we thank you right now that you're causing us to overthrow these mindsets, these giants, Father, that would come to tell us what we're not capable of, to put limitations on us. When in you there is no boundary or limitation, if you call us to a thing, you equip us for a thing. Whatever you've called us to, you've equipped us for. And so even as Gideon did not understand why you were calling on him in that moment, calling him a mighty man of valor, he says, listen, I'm the least in my tribe, and my tribe is the least of all the tribes. What do you mean, mighty man of valor? But when he began to honor and to respect what you were saying to him, when he began to come into agreement with what you were saying to him, and that's all you're requiring of your son, to come into agreement and begin to walk in the direction that you're calling them to, even as you did Abraham. You called him from his father's house and told him, I'm not going to give you the GPS, the coordinates for where you're going. You don't have a map for this thing. I'm going to lead you to a place of promise. I'm going to lead you to the place that I declared I wanted your father to take his family to. They refused. The family refused to go. Your father refused to go, and he died in the land of Haran. But I'm calling you out of that place to take you to the promise, regardless of what happened before you, regardless of what else the family has done, what else the family has denied me of. I'm calling out of that family a people that would actually stand for me. So we thank you right now that when Gideon got his mind wrapped around what you were saying to him, when he actually received what you were saying and began to agree with what you were saying, it turned him into a madman concerning the things that were of diabolic nature. He began to go in and to dispossess. He began to go in and overthrow the gods of the land. He began to crash down the altars and tear up some things, so much so that they began to look for him. So much so that they had to change his name from Gideon to they had to put Baal near his name. And if I pull it up right now, I can remember the name, but I don't remember what they called him. But I know that the name dealt with the fact that he overthrew Baal. He dealt with Baal. Like, where is Baal now? Was what his name meant. Now what's Baal gonna do? Now let him talk for himself. Let him speak for himself. You know, everybody came out and they were against him and ready to kill him. And they were angry about what he had done. But his father said, if Baal can speak for himself, this is the time he needs to do it. Since Baal is the God of who we are, since Baal is in charge, let Baal speak for himself. Same thing that happened on the mount. The gods that were false, the gods that were of, they did not have eyes, they did not have ears, of these gods that were a foreign nature to the children of Israel. Don't do that. These gods that were a foreign nature to the Hebrew children, that they had began to bow down and began to worship. The prophets of Baal began to cut themselves and began to do a bunch of things on that mount to try to prove that their God was the God of all, and he was the God of all times. He was the greatest. Like Muhammad Ali, he was the greatest. He stung like a butterfly and swung like a bee. He was the greatest. But Elijah let them go through their process. He said, go ahead and do what you're going to do. Go ahead and call your God and go ahead. And the God that answers by fire, he is God. And so they began to do what they were going to do, and they did what they did from sunup till sundown, and none of their gods responded. Their God did not respond. And then the prophet said, listen, go get some buckets of water. Now, we're talking about in a drought. So we know what you're capable of, Father. We understand the nature of your infinity. We understand the nature of the fact that there is no boundary concerning you. You are all encompassing. In the time of drought, the prophet sends people to go get buckets and barrels of water to pour on this altar. Go get the buckets, go get the barrels, pour it over my altar. Keep pouring it. Pour it until the trench is filled. Pour it over it. Make sure everything is wet. And anybody that's got any good sense knows that you cannot light a fire when you got wet utensils. Anybody that's got good sense knows that when you light a fire, the wood can't be wet or it's not going to do anything but smoke. But your word declares that after he poured all of those buckets of water on the altar, after he poured out all of that on the altar and he put the sacrifice there, the Bible declares that lightning came from heaven. The lightning came from heaven. Your lightning came from the heavens and consumed the altar. Everything in the altar was consumed. The fire of God consumed the entire altar. Nothing was left, not even the stones. You consumed the entire thing. So, Father, we thank you that this is the hour that you're going to make a fool out of other gods. You're going to make a fool out of the gods that are worshipped by other men. You're going to make a fool out of their gods, even as you did with the Egyptian gods, even as you proved by your power and by your strength with the gods of the Egyptians. You overthrew them. You made an absolute mockery, an absolute fool of the Egyptian God by what you did. And we thank you right now. We glorify you that this is how you're setting up your sons. This is how you're setting up your sons in this season. We are coming into the dynamics of who we are. We are coming into the dynamics of who we are. We know whose we are. We're not confused about that anymore. We're not confused about who we belong to. We're not confused about the price that's been paid. We're not confused about what that takes. And we're not confused about what that's going to cost us. We have agreed to the price. We have agreed to the cost. And we thank you right now, Father, that as we're operating in this place, you are proving to the nations around us. You are proving to the peoples around us. You are proving even to our family, even to those that know us or think they know something about us, who you are in this hour and whose we are. Hallelujah. We glorify you now. For how you're moving your people. You're proving yourself. How you're moving us. We're thankful not only for the promise, but for the outcome, but we're thankful for this moment of training, for this income, for this place that you have us in right now to process us for the promise. We glorify you now.
Thank you. Thank you.
We glorify you now.
Hallelujah.
We glorify you now that you're calling us to a place where we're breaking the bands asunder. Hallelujah. Where we're breaking their bands asunder and casting away. Hallelujah. Just like the enemy wants to do concerning us, that's what the enemy desires to do, as it is in some too. They are raging, they are angry. They have an issue with your law, they have an issue, and they want to cast those things away. They want to break the bonds. They want to break the bands asunder. But this is the hour that you're calling us to break the bands of wickedness. You're calling us to break those bands asunder. You're calling us to the place where we're casting away the cords that bound us. We're casting off the restraint. We're casting off all of those things, Father, that would bring us into captivity. Anything that would try to confine us as sons in this hour. We're leaving the weight and the sin that does easily beset us so easily distress. And we're moving in grace in this race that you called us to. We're moving with grace in this race that you called us to. And this is the hour that sons win. This is the hour that the kingdom is given to the sons of the Most High. This is the hour that our clothes are being changed. This is the hour that our robes are being, that they've been made white. They've been dipped in the blood of the saints. They've been dipped in the blood of the saints that have gone before us. And now you're causing us to shine in this hour. That light that's set up on a hill that cannot be hidden. That's what you're calling your sons to do. That to be those people that are set up on a hill that cannot be hidden. We thank you right now. We thank you right now, Father. Hallelujah. We thank you right now. We glorify you. We glorify you. Hallelujah. We love you and we glorify your name. We love you and we glorify your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We glorify you. We glorify you, Lord. Hallelujah. We magnify your name now. Hallelujah. Magnify your name now.
Glory.
Glory, glory, glory. We glorify you. Hallelujah. We glorify you. We glorify you and we honor you now. We glorify you and we honor you now. We glorify you and we honor you now. Thank you. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for your statutes, Father. Thank you for your statutes, Father. We want to abide by those statutes. We want to abide by those rules. We want to abide by those laws. We know that there are many in the earth right now that think the law has been done away with. It's dead and gone. Oh, we're under grace. We don't want to be under greasy grace. We recognize that to be a lie. We want to operate in the place that you called us to, and that's to love the Father with all our heart, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. You said in so doing, we have fulfilled all of the law and the prophets. This love place is a real place for us. And you're calling us. No, you're not getting ready to wear that right now. You're calling us into this place, Father, where we identify the love factor. That's what you're talking to us about in this season. You're teaching us how to love ourselves, how to love you first and to love ourselves so that we know what that looks like, so we know how to receive it and where to receive it from. So we will know how to love those that are our brethren, that are our family. We will know how to love. Hallelujah. You're calling us away from this place where we have not loved ourselves, where we have not understood what love was, and we've allowed things to enter into the realm of our life. They've entered into our lives. They've entered into the way that we do things. They've entered into and interrupted the things that you called us to. Hallelujah. But you have taught us and you are teaching us how to love. Hallelujah. You have taught us and are teaching us continually how to love. So we love your law. We love your statutes. And we recognize that this is the place of wealth. This is the way to prosperity. You said that those that believe on the Lord their God would be established. See, establishment is a place of prosperity. It's a place of fulfillment. It's a place of having more than enough. Establishment means you're not scattered. Establishment means that you're not wandering. Establishment means that you are settled in the place that he's called you to. Hallelujah. And that's a place for prosperity to happen. That's a place for prosperity to happen. So we love you right now as we enter into this place that you called us to on this watch. As we enter into this place that you called us to on this watch. Hallelujah. On this watch that you have called us to. Glory. On this watch that you have called us to, Father, as we are going out of today. Sundown has already happened, so we're already in a new day. But the enemy operates in these boundaries here. That's good. You're all right. The enemy operates in these boundaries here. He operates in these boundaries here where he begins to set up a thing for the new day. And you've given us a charge. You've given us a mandate in this hour to actually give the day a mindset. To give the day a mindset. So in this moment, in this hour, we're already preparing the mindset for tomorrow. were given the day a mindset. You said sufficient unto the day. Is that sufficient unto the day? Let me pull it up right now. I want to quote it just like it says. I want to quote it just like it says. Come on. I'm going to pull it up just like it says. Hallelujah. I pull it up just like it says. Come on. Matthew 6:34. I'm going to go there. It says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Hold on. I'm pulling it up right now. Because for the morrow shall take up for the things of itself. That's what I was after. Yeah. That's what I was after. The morrow will take thought for the things of itself. Yeah, the day has a mindset. It has thought. It has a way to think. It's thinking about some things. But the word declares that we are to release a praise in the earth that gives the earth a place of conception that causes the earth to conceive. And so we're releasing our words today for tonight's conception and tomorrow's birthing place. Hallelujah, for tonight's conception and tomorrow's birthing place. Father, we glorify you now. We glorify you now. Hallelujah, we glorify you now. And we love your name. We love your name. We love your name. For this we are thankful. For these things we are thankful. We will be back on tomorrow at 6 o'clock. We're going to do it at 6 p.m. Torah, today's prophetic table talk. We're going to do it tomorrow for Chakot. So come on back tomorrow at 6 p.m. with us, and let's sit around the table and have talk about the things that you're calling us to. Tomorrow is not a day of no conversation. It's a day of lots of conversation. So we're going to pull up some things, and we're going to actually walk through these things. But for us, we've read it several times by now because we're actually walking through the Bible again in this season. And so these things are kind of fresh on our mind, but I believe the Holy Spirit has some new things that he wants to share that have not been shared before. So I want to release those things tomorrow at 6 p.m. So let's come back tomorrow and be prepared for those things. We're excited about intercession. We're excited about prophetic intercession, particularly because we only speak here what the Father is releasing for us to speak. And we are seeing the manifestation of the things that the Father has given us to say. We are seeing the actual manifestation of the things that the Father has given us to say in other seasons, and we're yet looking at manifestation around us every day. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited about allowing his voice to be heard in the earth through his sons, and I'm thankful for what he's doing in the sons all over the place. Thank you to those that are listening to us from across the water. Let me see who's listening right now. I'm going to pull it up. Let me pull it up real quick because I don't want to miss anybody. And Father, we declare and decree that the sons would find their way back here. All of the sons that were once represented in this place, that they would find their way back here. Germany is listening. Just wait, Sophia. Germany is listening. Syria is listening. Azerbaijan is listening. Turkey is listening. Canada is listening. And the U.S. is listening. We're thankful. We need to pick back up our brothers in South America and in Africa. We're looking for you. And also in Asia. We don't see Asia tonight. So we're going to go back through this map. I'm going to declare to you guys that I want you to go through the map and begin to look at some things, even in your prayer times as it pertains to who we are. Vietnam is also listening. Thank you, Father. I didn't miss you guys. I caught you. I caught you. Vietnam is also listening. We got some really important places, some really key places for the end that are listening to us. And so we need to tap into some things right now concerning even our listenership. We're thankful for the souls of the people in those regions. But there is an attention that we need to give to who's actually listening to us in this hour. We need to tap into some things. That just dropped in my spirit. We need to tap into some things because our listening audience is not just comprised of believers, but is also comprised of those that don't believe. So we're excited about the souls that will come into the place of conversion, but we're also going to deal with the enemies that are tracing, tracking, and ear hustling in this hour. That just dropped in my spirit. Sometimes we're so excited, Sophia, come here, about the listenership. We're not dealing with who's listening and why. We're not dealing with who's listening and why. Hallelujah. So we're excited about these things, and we're going to come back tomorrow at 6 p.m. and share this time around the table, around Torah and these sad and feast on what he's saying to us and how we're going to move. These statutes are important, and it's not ironic, and it's not by circumstance, not by happenstance or circumstantial anything that we're back at the statute. He repeats himself for purpose. I know we say that the Father don't repeat himself, but he actually does. He actually does repeat himself.
Amen.
Now, he does do that. Mm-hmm. Because he loves us, he repeats himself. Because he loves us,
Amen.
He repeats himself. Because he wants us to hear what he's saying. He wants us to hear what he's saying. Mm-hmm. He wants us to be aware of what he means when he says what he says. That's really important
Amen.
For us to grab
Amen.
A hold of that thing in this hour, grab a hold of that and to recognize what he's saying and to honor that and just take it real serious. Take it real serious. If I remember tomorrow and if I forget, you guys remind me. I want to kind of go over that prophetic word for July with them here on the broadcast as well. I believe there are some sons that will be listening that they need to hear this word. They need to hear this word. Come here. Not only that, I've been listening. There have been some things in my environment and my ear has been tuned. I recognize that the things that are echoing, the things that are resounding in my environment, even as it pertains to TV, which I don't watch, but there is one here and people have it on. There are some things that the enemy is saying in this season that are just a repetition of what we've already prophesied, of what we've already declared. So the sound is going out in the earth. It is. The enemy has the memo. The sons have the memo. Now let's go to the mouth of the showdown and see what's the outcome of this matter. That's what we have to have on our mind. Let's go on up to the mountain and see what's the outcome of this matter going to be, because we already know what the outcome is, because the Father declares the end from the beginning. So we love you. We're going to get off the line now. Anybody have anything they want to share tonight, anything that touched you in a particular way, something that the Holy Spirit is revealing to you that might bless the sons tonight, the world? Go ahead and share that thing. Don't be bashful or shy. If it blessed you, share it. Testimony is important because testimony lets sons know that if he did it for one, he'll do it for another. He's not a respecter of persons. He is not in any
Amen.
Way a respecter of persons. So the line is open. If you have something that you want to share, this would be the time to do that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glow. Glow. Mm-hmm. All right, we will see you guys tomorrow at 6 o'clock here for Torah, the prophetic parashah is Chukat, and we'll be having table talk around that tomorrow. We'll be doing question and answers as well. If people have questions and you're looking for answers, let's go ahead and delve into that and allow the Father to speak to us and through us and through us to us. That's a thing. That's a thing, too, through us. And to us, but also through us to us. That's something that I had to learn within the last 4 or 5 years, that the Father not only speaks through me to other people, but he speaks through me to me. Don't negate the Holy Spirit as he speaks through you to you, because that's how you're led into all
Amen.
Truth. That's how you're led into the places that you need to be to operate in the truth that he's called you to. And you won't be deceived when you allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you. Those little phrases or those little words that the Holy Spirit might release to you. You think you're just saying it to a person, but you got to recognize what you're saying to them. And when you recognize what you're saying, then you may just understand where you're at. And everything will be defined for you in that moment. So I love you guys so much. Thank you so much for being here. The body is not a me thing. It's a we thing. Once we begin to repeat that, to become it, to actualize that in the earth, there's going to be such a supply that is released from the sun. The joints are going to be supplying one to the other, and we're going to be able to sustain everything that the Father has been saying to us. We love you so much. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, you're blessed, and don't forget it. We love you so much. Peace to you.